is translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 9, The Most Confidential Knowledge, Text 22. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So chapter 9 verse 22. Ananyas chintayanto mam ye jana pariupasate tesham nitya biyuktanam yogat shemam vahamyaham. Translation. But those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack, and I preserve what they have. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. One who is unable to live for a moment without Krishna consciousness cannot but think of Krishna 24 hours a day, being engaged in devotional service by hearing, chanting, remembering, offering prayers, worshipping, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, rendering other services, cultivating friendship, and surrendering fully to the Lord. Such activities are all auspicious and full of spiritual potencies, which make the devotee perfect in self-realization, so that his only desire is to achieve the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a devotee undoubtedly approaches the Lord without difficulty. This is called yoga. By the mercy of the Lord, such a devotee never comes back to this material condition of life. Kshema refers to the merciful protection of the Lord. The Lord helps the devotee to achieve Krishna consciousness by yoga. And when he becomes fully Krishna conscious, the Lord protects him from falling down to a miserable, conditioned life. Just one request. Please, can you turn off your telephones? Is that okay? Do you have a phone with you? Next phone to ring, 100 rupees fine. Phone after that to ring, 500 rupees fine. Phone after that, you pay 1 month's rent for the center. So let us read the verse again. Ananyas chintayanto mam ye jana parupasate tesham nitya biyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. But those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack, and I preserve what they have. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namami Namaste Saraswati Devine Gauravani Pracharine Nera Vishesha Shunyavadi Pastitrade Jatane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasati Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vajkapa Charubhyas Jagripa Sindhu Pyetacha Padidhanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. This is a very beautiful verse in Bhagavad Gita because here Lord Krishna is explaining how he is merciful to the devotee, to those who are trying to serve, trying to please him. Krishna is very personal and he is watching all of us, and he is watching and waiting. When will this devotee surrender to me completely and give up his or her nonsense? And Krishna is waiting and wanting that. And when he sees some sincerity, some effort is being made, then Krishna reciprocates. But as Srila Prabhupada said on a number of occasions, you take one step towards Krishna, he'll take 10 steps towards you. You know, there's a verse in the 4th chapter, 4:11. Who can tell us what is Bhagavad Gita 4:11? Any Bhakti Shastris here? Big Bhagavad Gita scholars and Shastris. Ah, I see, we have one big scholar. Vaishnava Acharya. Yay Yatama Prapantyante Tams Tatava Bajam Yaham Mamabhag Naravartante Manusya Pata Sarvasha. So Krishna says there, as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. This sounds like you take one step towards Krishna, he takes one step towards you, doesn't it? Sounds like that. As they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. But Krishna does not work like that. As we mentioned, as Srila Prabhupada mentioned, you take one step towards Krishna, he takes 10 steps towards you. And it may even be, and sometimes it is, that you take one step towards Krishna, he takes 100 steps towards you. And sometimes, if you're having a bad day, you take no step towards Krishna. Maybe you even step away a step or two, but Krishna comes after you. Where do you think you're going? You're not going anywhere, my friend. And Krishna then drags you, sometimes. So this verse though, this is a very nice verse, along these lines, that Krishna is saying, for the devotee who is trying to remember me and trying to serve me like this, ananyas chintayanto mam. Actually it means, well, ananya, anya means other, and ananya means no other. Ananya chinta. Chinta means the mind. Chintayanto. Those whose minds, they are thinking of no other than Mam, me. So, particularly for them, very advanced devotees, who never forget Krishna, but actually for all devotees, for everyone who is trying, Krishna says that I carry to them what they lack, I preserve what they have. This is Krishna's mercy. For the devotees, there is a specific context, you could say, for this concept. That context is that normally, according to your karma, if you are to lose something, you lose it. And if you are not to get something, you don't get it. But Krishna says here, for the devotees, I carry to them what they lack. I preserve what they have. As we said, the context is in terms of karma, that if you are to lose something, you cannot hold on to it. You try. You lock, put a padlock on it and lock it onto your wrist so you will not lose it. And next thing, they cut off your wrist. Anyway, the next thing, one way or another, you lose it. And what happened? It's gone. It was locked on my wrist. Srila Prabhupada said that his father said, Krishna has 8 hands. You have 2. Just check. And if Krishna wants to take from you with his 8 hands, how will you hold on to it with your 2? Of course, on the other hand, if Krishna wants to give you with his 8 hands, how can you hold it with your 2? But the point here is that Krishna said, I preserve what they have. The idea behind the scenes is they should not have it. They should lose it. This is what their karma is saying. If you go and ask Lord Yamaraj, this such, Mr. Such and Such, he has something, what is meant to happen with that? Yamaraj looks at his book and says, oh, he's going to lose it. He's going to lose it. That's your karma. But Krishna says, no. I preserve what they have. The devotees. If the devotees have something which can be used in devotional service, Krishna will see it as preserved so that they do use it and can use it in devotional service. But if it were just a matter of their karma, they would lose it. You may have heard the story before, the famous story of the man from Flack There was a man living in Flack, and he was big rich man. What do you call big rich man here?
Isa.
In South Africa, the Indians call him Lani. Big Lani. Anyway, it's okay. So, Pyambyang Person was living here in Flack, and he had a servant who would go out and run errands and buy things and take messages. So one day he sent the servant down to the supermarket. What's the name of the supermarket? In fact?
Winners.
Winners. Oh. Sounds like a bluff to me. Lose all the money. They're the winners. So he sent his servant down to Winners. Go buy something. So there went the servant. Now he's looking around Winners. Where is it? Ah, there it is. He goes to get it. Suddenly, he just walked into another man. Bang. They just bumped into each other in the aisle there in Winners. And a little hard and a bit of a shock. Oh, what happened? They looked at each other. And that servant saw the person he had bumped into was death in person. The personality of death was there in Winners. So the servant's looking at death. Death is shocking. And he's just stunned. And suddenly this death is looking at him straight in the eyes. Suddenly death made a strange expression, very unusual and kind of frightening expression. And the servant got too shocked and ran back to the big bonbon riche boss. And he said, "You won't believe it, I was there in Winners. I met death. Wow, it was so horrible. But what was the worst thing was death looked at me and made this strange expression like he's going to get me. So I just ran. And I am not going to stay here. I'm going to go to Bonacay, to my brother's house, and hide in the spare room on the second floor, just so death can't find me." So off he went, and the boss, the rich man, he was upset. So he decided to go down to Winners and find death and tell death what he thought about him. Tick him off a little. What do you think you're doing? So he went, looking, where's death? Sure enough, he found him. He was still there. You know where he was? In the butchery section. Hare Krishna. So the big rich man walked up to death and said, "Hey, you, death, what do you think you're doing? You scared my servant. Why did you do that? You shouldn't do that." And death said, "Well, I'm sorry. I just tend to frighten people." And the boss said, "Well, that's one thing. But then my servant said, you looked at him with a strange expression, like you were going to get him. And you frightened him. You really frightened him. And death said, you know why I made that strange expression? I'll tell you why. Because I have an appointment. Because I was very surprised to see him here in the winners in black. I was very surprised. What's he doing here? Because I had an appointment with him in his brother's house in Bonner Cay on the second floor in the spare room in the back tomorrow. So I was surprised. So you see, you can't escape your karma. And Srila Prabhupada mentioned that in Bengali, they say, the word for destiny, what is going to come your way, the word for destiny and the word for forehead, this part of the head, the forehead, they're the same. So, Prabhupada said, the saying is, wherever you go, your forehead goes with you. Ever tried leaving it at home? So wherever you go, your forehead goes with you. Wherever you go, your destiny goes with you. You cannot escape. So, like this, Krishna saying, I preserve what they have. If, according to your karma, you are not to lose that thing, then what is the point of Krishna saying, I will preserve what you have? It's meaningless. But he is saying, I preserve what you have, what my devotee has, specifically because, according to your karma, you were meant to lose it. But Krishna says, no. No, you don't lose it. You keep it and engage it in my service. And then Krishna says, I carry to them what they lack. In other words, according to their karma, they don't have it now. And they will not have it. And therefore, that's it. They lack that thing. But Krishna says, no. No. I will carry to the devotee what the devotee lacks. And again, if the devotee, now he's lacking, now he does not have, but in a little while, according to his karma, he will have. Then again, what is the point of Krishna saying, I carry to them what they lack? There's no point. It's meaningless. So this is explained by our acharyas in their comments on this verse and the verses around this verse in the ninth chapter. Krishna is preserving what the devotee has, which otherwise the devotee would lose according to his or her karma. And Krishna is carrying to the devotee and delivering what the devotee does not have and would not have if it was just a matter of the karma. You follow? So let's say, you understand, Vishakha? Okay, well, she's a bright girl. So Krishna does this for his devotees. In other words, Krishna contradicts the laws of karma to his devotees. Not for everyone, only the devotees. For the ordinary people, just materialistic people, just interested in their own sense gratification, material enjoyment, comfortable living, and all that, then no. If they are to lose something, they lose it. And if they are not to get something, they will not get it. But for the devotee, it doesn't work like this. Krishna personally, in person, preserves and delivers. In this regard, there's a famous story told by Srila Prabhupada. Some of you may well have heard the story. Srila Prabhupada was giving a class on this verse. You can look it up and read the what Srila Prabhupada said. So Srila Prabhupada told the story of a devotee called Arjuna Acharya. This Arjuna Acharya, he was a nice devotee and he liked Bhagavad Gita. Actually, he loved Bhagavad Gita. He would read the entire book every day. Can you imagine? At least the verses, he would read the whole book every day. Because he loved it. It was just nectar. However, there was one verse he just couldn't accept. He didn't agree with it. He couldn't understand. And he just didn't accept. It was this verse. Because Krishna is saying. The particular point was that Krishna is saying, I personally preserve what the devotee has. And I personally carry and deliver to the devotee what the devotee lacks. The Sanskrit word for carry is vahami. Vahami means I carry. Vahami, vahasi, vahati. I carry, you carry, he or she carries. This is how it declines according to Sanskrit grammar. So vaha means I carry. So there's this Arjunacharya, every day he's reading, and every day he comes to this verse right in the middle of Bhagavad Gita, and he thinks, oh no, what to do? But anyway, then he carries on and finishes. But one day, he came to this verse, and he thought, no, it's too much, I can't take it any longer. I think someone has changed this verse. Someone has got in and altered the text. And he thought, how can it be vahami that Krishna personally carries and delivers like a delivery boy? You know, you get these fellows, they drive around on motorbikes or little vans, delivering things here and there. And this is not a big job. This is just ordinary job. You don't need university degree. You don't need anything, actually. Just need your driving license. And normally you can buy that for 150 rupees, isn't it? I don't know how it works. But, so Arjunacharya thought, how can it be? Krishna, God, he is carrying things around and delivering like some just small-time worker. unimportant little working person. Krishna's God, he's big man. So Arjunacharya thought, maybe Krishna will cause it to happen somehow or other through some agent. Then he makes some arrangement. Take to this devotee what he needs. Go on. And then that messenger person takes him. And then the devotee gets, oh, look, I got what I lacked. So this is what Arjunacharya thought. That Krishna may cause it to happen, but not that he actually does it himself. So what he did, that verse was written on tree bark. In those days, they didn't have printed books like our nice printed books that you can just buy like that. If you wanted a copy of Bhagavad Gita, you had to go to the scribe, the special Brahmin who wrote out the scriptures, and you had to place your order and come back maybe 6 months later, and he would have written it out for you. But yeah, so it was written on tree bark, you know, some thickness of tree bark. So he's looking at this and he thought, I must change it. What he did, he physically, with some knife or some blade, he physically cut out that word. Physically cut it out and removed it. And in the space underneath, he wrote the word Karomi. Yogic Shemam Karomyaham. It works. And he thought, this is better. That I cause them to get what they lack. And he thought, now I've done a good thing. I have corrected Bhagavad Gita. So it makes more sense. And off he went to beg food for lunch. So he went into town begging here and there. And his wife was waiting at home, waiting for him to come. So with some food, which he might beg, and then she would cook it and they would have lunch. So there she is waiting, and there's a knock on the door. She opened the door. There are these two young boys, maybe 10 years old, something like that. One was extremely dark-skinned. The other was extremely light-skinned. No prizes for guessing who they might be. Take a wild guess, see what you come up with. So there are these two boys, and there they are with these big baskets of food. Raw, uncooked, like uncooked rice, uncooked vegetables, some ghee, spices, dal, and so on. And the dark-skinned boy, he spoke, and he said, you know, we were down in the market, we met your husband, he was begging food, and he asked us, can you give something? And we said, sure. Not only will we give it, we will deliver it to your front door. And here we are. And here is the food. Take it. And they gave her these baskets of food. And they're about to walk away. And the wife said, wait a minute, wait, wait. I will cook a big feast with all this wonderful foodstuffs. And my husband will come after a while, so you just wait here. We will all have a big feast together. And the very dark-skinned boy, black-skinned boy, said, no, 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 no. I am not waiting. We are not waiting for your husband. No chance. We're getting out of here before he comes back. And the wife was surprised. Why? What's wrong with my husband? And the very black-skinned boy said, there we were, offering all this food to your husband and telling him, don't worry, we'll deliver it to your door. And you know what he did? He hit me on the back, hard, a few times. And he cut my back. Look. And the black-skinned boy turned his back to the wife. And sure enough, there are these nasty cuts on his back. Your husband did this. She couldn't believe it. My husband did this? No. And you were helping? He would never do that. Not possible. But the black-skinned boy said, he did it. And I am getting out before he comes back, because who knows what he'll do next. And off they went. And shortly afterwards, Arjunacharya returned empty-handed. He did not get anything, not even one shushu. Or one gropwa. So there he walks in. There's his wife cooking this big feast with all these ingredients. And Arjunacharya said, what is going on? Where did you get all of this? And the wife said, you know, it was those two boys, the black-skinned boy and the white-skinned boy. You know. And Arjunacharya said, what black-skinned boy? What white-skinned boy? And his wife said, you know. They offered you all this food. They said they would deliver it to our door. But you hit that black-skinned boy on the back and cut his back. Shame on you. How could you do that? And Arjunacharya said, what? I never did anything like that. I would never do anything like that. This is crazy. Then his eyes fell on that page of Bhagavad Gita where he had cut the word Vahami, I carry, out, cut it, and physically removed it with his knife. And he thought, wow, Bhagavad Gita, the words of Bhagavad Gita, they are not different from Krishna. Bhagavad Gita, the words of Bhagavad Gita, they are actually a form of Krishna. They are Krishna's body. And I cut that word out, I cut Krishna's body. And I put my own nonsense speculation. But despite that, Krishna still carried everything and delivered it, despite what I did. And he just became overwhelmed. That despite my cutting Krishna and hurting him badly, still he carried it and delivered it. How merciful is Krishna? So then that Arjunacharya, he became just so overwhelmed. He went running out through the streets of the town, shouting, Vahami! 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 And everyone thought, what happened to Arjunacharya? you know, maybe he could chant Hare Krishna, that's okay. But why this Vahami, Vahami? So you see, Vahami, Vahami Aham, Yoga Kshemam, Vahami Aham. Krishna personally delivers for his devotees. And Krishna personally protects what the devotee has. This is the mercy of the Lord on the devotee. Therefore, we should be devotees. And of course, the more serious the devotee is, the more advanced the devotee is, the more Krishna does. Generally, this is a basic idea at least. So it's very nice. Oh! Bhakti. Thank you. Maybe Krishna sent him. Must be. What a magnificent garland. I don't deserve it. So this is Krishna. This is our Lord Krishna. He is very wonderful. He is very personal. And if we really try, of course he will test from time to time. Are you serious? Or are you just here for the plate of prasadam at the end? In London, when I joined, we had our Sunday program every Sunday, very nice. Last part of the program was the arati, and following the arati was prasadam. And we had quite a number of regular people that come every Sunday, and some of them would come for the class, some would come in the middle of the class, some would come at the end of the class, beginning of the arati, and some would come at the end of the arati, just before prasadam. So those who came right at the end of the arati, when the fan is being offered, we called them Krishna's fan club. Because they come when the fan is being offered. So they're fans. They're fans of Krishna in the form of prasadam. So, yeah. There are questions of degree. It is not just black or white. Like, you know, with all due respect, the Christians say, either you go to heaven or you go to hell. No in between. Either you go to the best place. It is just, oh, we cannot imagine. It is literally out of this world. Or you go to the worst place, which is so terrible. It's also, you can't imagine. It's just like some total horror, completely, fantastically horrible. It's either one or the other. But our experience, isn't it? Our experience in life is that generally things are not just either black or white. There are many shades of grey, or different shades, different degrees. Like the children, when you sit an exam at school, it's not that either you get 100% or you get zero. It's not like that, is it? There's all so much detail there, and someone gets 51% and someone gets 52%, and someone gets 49. Someone gets 49.5. You know, you get all this variety, it's quite... But the picture in general is very detailed and very complex. And even if we just look at ourselves here, everybody here, in material terms, some of you are more wealthy, some are not so wealthy, some of you children are doing well at school, some are not doing so well, and someone is bigger, someone is smaller, they're all different sizes. How did we get all these different sizes of bodies? And that someone has so much money, someone has a little less, someone has a little less, someone has a little less. And how is it like that? Why is it not that there's just people who are just rich and just people who are totally bankrupt? Why are all these different categories there? Because we already had previous lifetimes. We're talking materially here. And in those previous lifetimes, we all lived in different ways. And therefore someone is born in a more wealthy family, someone less wealthy, and all different varieties. Like this. In other words, we are living proof that it's not just a question of either heaven or hell. We are living proof of the fact that the whole picture is very intricate and complex, highly detailed. Yes. But, so therefore, even spiritually, we're also on different levels. Someone is big Sant Maharaj, like Raghunath Prabhu. And someone is just new. Maybe someone's here attending a program for the very first time. And then there's all different people in between. So there are degrees. But the basic idea is, if we try our best, Krishna will be merciful and help us in ways which are relevant and practical. You know the story of Hanuman and the spider? You know that story? Hanuman and the spider, they were building the bridge to Lanka. Hanuman and the monkeys getting big boulders and rocks and mountain peaks, throwing them in the sea and they're floating. And there was one little spider. What is spider in Creole? Huh? Araignée. Petit araignée. But he was also a devotee. And he also wanted to help. But he was very petit. So he could only pick up one grain of sand at a time and throw it, you know, a couple of inches into the sea. But it was also floating. But he felt, I'm serving my Lord Ram. He felt good that he's serving Ram. But Hanuman, running up and down the beach with rocks and big boulders, Hanuman was almost stepping on him every time. And Hanuman became frustrated and said, listen, Petit Araignée, you want to help? If you really want to help, stop trying to help. Just get out of the way. That will really help. And let us do the real service with our big boulders and rocks. And that little pity Alan, yay. Oh, he was so disappointed. Oh, I can't serve my Lord. This is terrible. Lord Ram heard this and saw this. And Lord Ram came and, shall we say, corrected Hanuman. You could say chastised a little. That, no, don't speak like that. Who do you think you are? He is doing his best according to his capacity, as you are. So don't think you're doing the real service and he's just doing something insignificant. He is equal to you. I see him as equal to you. So Hanuman was humbled. So each one of us, we have our different capacities, we're on different levels. But we should do our best. Really do our best to render some service, help the center, help spread Krishna consciousness, help with service in the center, etc., like this. And really give our hearts and some time. And do as much as we can within reason, or at least within our parameters. And Krishna will see, and he will appreciate, and he will reciprocate. He will give you mercy, and you'll see that in your life, and you'll be very happy. And before you know, you will wake up one morning in Goloka Vrindavan. Shri Goloka Vrindavan Dham Ki. Au revoir, Flak. Well, not even au revoir, just goodbye. And welcome to Goloka Vrindavan. Hare Krishna. So, maintenant, question, prashna, any comment or question from anyone? You know what I heard? You know what I heard? Sure. I heard the devotees in Flak are very intelligent. Yes. Is it true? Yes, sir.
What I suggested, when you spoke about karma, many people are not aware. And I sometimes don't know. What are the main various deeds that we should perform?
Oh, okay.
Dimitrius deeds that we do regularly. Seventh question. If we are here after we do our karma, how we can explain the growing, the increased number of people in the planet?
The growing of?
Population.
Population, okay.
An animal.
Okay. Well, that's nice. The thing is, as you said, people don't know how I got here in this body, born in this family, in this country. People don't know. But there are causes. There are causes, that is karma. But the point is, we must get out of our karma and not just stay in this material world. We belong in the spiritual world, in the kingdom of God. But now we're in the material world, and we're taking the reactions of our karma, and we are incurring new karma to perpetuate the process on and on. So really, we need to stop the process of karma, and that is done through devotional service to Krishna. This is done through devotional service to Krishna. If we render service to Krishna, towards the end of the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that to the effect that devotional service to Him is like a fire into which you can put lots of fuel, wood, etc., and it will get burnt up by the fire. And you come back later, it's gone. The fuel, like the wood that is put into that fire of devotional service, is our karma. It is burnt up by the fire of perfect knowledge, by the fire of devotional service. So we should render devotional service. It will burn up all our karma. Then we'll become liberated. Otherwise we're entangled because of the reactions of our karma. And what was the second part?
How do you explain?
Oh, increase of population. Right, right. Yes, well, the thing is this. That there is movement of living entities interplanetarily first thing there is movement of living entities between species. So one living entities move from one species into another, the other, there's an increase of members, because now living entities have moved into that species from another. But there's also a movement between planets. And I don't mean by spaceships, but by the arrangement of the Lord, actually specifically by the arrangement of Yamaraj, living entities are moved from one planet to another. And then they take birth on that other planet. And so in this way, there's increase of species, increase of numbers, at least, of within species, and decrease, as we know, human beings. One of the main things human beings are expert at is destroying. I mean, they're much better at destroying things than they are at improving things. So, many species have become extinct here. The dodo, the Mauritian famous dodo. I was just in India just a few days ago, and we were staying in a hotel. On the wall they had a calendar with animals, Indian animals. They had the snow leopard, and at the bottom of the page it said, cheetah is extinct in India. Cheetah is extinct. Of course cheetah is living in Africa. But species are becoming extinct. The living entities who were in those bodies have been transferred to other species, possibly other planets. And this is why there are fluctuations, increase, decrease, like that. But it is not that spiritually living entities are being brought into existence who were not existing. The living entities are eternal, but they are moving. Yeah.
The way we are living, actually.
The way we are living.
The way we are living.
Yeah.
Don't you see, we are here due to our desire of senses?
Due to our desire.
Senses.
Yes, and because we try to fulfill the desires of our senses, we get karma. We get reactions. We desire whatever it is, and we do that, and then there's a reaction. That's karma. Literally, karma means action. But karma, how it works, it is action plus reaction. They're two parts of one thing. It is not that action is one thing and reaction is another thing and they're independent. They're two parts of one thing. And Prabhupada would give the example of a coin. You have the head side and the tail side. And once you've got the head side, you've got the tail side also. And you cannot say, well, I'll just take the head side. Heads I win, tails you lose. You cannot just take the head side and tell him, Srinjai, Prabhu, you take the tail side, I don't want it. Even you cut it through the middle, across, to cut off the tail side, you just create another tail side. So this is karma. When a person does an activity, the reaction must come. They cannot sidestep it, dodge it, talk their way out of it, buy their way out of it. They will get the reaction. This is why we told the little story earlier, if you recall, about the man who met death. He tried to avoid him, couldn't. It was already arranged. It was already arranged. So on that level, on the material level, we desire, then we try to fulfill the desire, and if we do, there's a reaction. And that reaction will come sooner or later, unavoidably. In this way, the soul is entangled in this world. Until all the karma is gone, you have to stay to receive the karma. This is how karma works. So Krishna consciousness is a process for doing away with, destroying the karma. And then one becomes free. As Krishna says, Sarva Dharman Parichaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Raja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshay Shami Mashucha. You just give up all other dharmas. Take shelter of me, surrender to me. And I will deliver you from all your pap, means all your karma. And moksha ishami, you'll be liberated. Is that okay? Hare Krishna devotees. Killer 18.
Thank you for
the photo of 9. Oh,